When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 158 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And the subject today is inbound marketing. In today's show, Kelvin discusses this topic with Brian Worley of HubSpot, all coming up in Internet Marketing.
Okay, Brian, so you work for HubSpot, who in my mind are kind of very much synonymous with the concept of inbound marketing, as it were. Can you talk a bit about kind of how you understand inbound marketing, what that means, and kind of HubSpot's involvement in that as kind of an idea?
Yeah, so I've been working at HubSpot for almost 3 years now. The company is about almost 6 years old. And what inbound marketing really means to me is that before I worked at HubSpot, I worked at another website, and we did a lot of traditional marketing, which is funny because we were a website, and our idea was to pull people into our website, and to get people there, we needed to be doing magazine ads and ads on the radio and doing sponsorships for radio spots and television shows, and it was really unsuccessful. Okay. It didn't do very well, especially not as well as we thought we should be doing. We wanted to be doing better with it. And so what we started when I started to look around for other jobs and investigating the things, I heard about this thing called inbound marketing. Luckily, HubSpot was just down the street. It was just a few miles away. And so what inbound marketing really means to me is that it's this idea that the world of advertising and marketing has completely changed. And a lot of the old tactics don't work anymore, or don't work as well, and they don't work for a lot of new businesses. And so what we're looking at doing is how do we use the internet in totally different ways to really bring people to instead of buying lots of advertisements and then trying to figure out like what worked about that advertisement or what was attractive that pulled people in. We say, let's figure out like what kinds of questions people have about our business or what kinds of problems that people have that lead them to need our product. And then let's produce lots of educational material about that and help explain what we do and why we do it and what's interesting about it and see if we can use that as a magnet to pull people in when they're doing research about products. And we found that that's a lot more successful than doing a lot of traditional advertising and things like that where people might see an ad and not understand what you are or why you're doing it or how it would help them.
And what are some of the kind of disciplines or verticals that tend to lend themselves particularly well to kind of this inbound marketing approach?
The types of businesses that do the best are businesses where a big part of your product is knowledge or information, I think. Yeah. Because people will have a problem, they'll need to do research about it, or they'll want to learn more about that problem that they're having or possible solutions. And so they'll do a lot of research. And this is also, I think, a lot of times very high dollar value kind of sales or businesses, whether they're like consulting or they're physical goods or they're digital products or anything like that. They tend to be expensive. And so they have a long research cycle and people need to find out a lot about it, make sure they're buying the right product, make sure that they're getting what they need. Or if a lot of B2B businesses will say, you know, like we need to research several types of products, see what competitors are out there, see what people are saying about them, and which one best matches with what we need. And then what inbound marketing does so well with that is they start reading all this content on your website, like your ebooks or blog posts about the problem that they're having and different solutions that people have tried and how your products can be useful to that. And by the time they're done reading it, they're not only informed about the topic, but they now know that you're an expert on that topic. And so it makes it much more likely that they're going to want to buy from you because they know that you're already at the top of that field.
And I know that ebooks have been a big part of the kind of the HubSpot experience. And it feels like I'm kind of on your mailing list. It feels like every other day there's a new ebook kind of produced. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of, is there any tips from your experience of how you've gone about producing those that you think kind of perhaps would be useful for people who are trying to take this inbound marketing approach?
Yeah. So one of the key things is to produce some content that you give away freely on your website. You don't require any registration or anything like that. That kind of content tends to get shared a lot on social media. Google and other search engines index it and love to put it at the top of their search results. And so that's really good for people bringing people in initially. But then what you can do is you can say, I have even more about this, but I'm going to want like an email address or a phone number or something like that so I can get in touch with you and find out, like, why are you so interested in this? So let's say I sell like custom fiber optic cables for businesses and robots and things like that that need custom lengths or custom styles of fiber optic cabling. And I can give away a little bit of information on my website freely about, you know, what kinds of uses do custom fiber optic cablings have? What does pricing look like? What do you need to know if you're buying one? And then I say, if you need even more, like you want to look at a style guide and you want and download even more information about this, you know, sign up for this form here and you can download my 10 or 12 page ebook about everything that you could ever want to know about fiber optic cabling. And by the time you read that ebook, you'll be an expert on it. You'll know that we're an expert on it. And you'll have all the information you need to make an informed decision as a buyer.
And those that type of content can be quite effective for kind of SEO then, I suppose, as well. It's the type of stuff that people are going to link to.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing where if you can produce like the one authoritative ebook or the one authoritative blog post on a topic, it'll be really attractive for people in your industry to link to. Even your competitors might start linking to it if it's a really good resource because it's easier than producing it on their own. And they're hoping that if they can get that kind of attention when they have someone's attention, they can still share your content, but they've already got that person's contact information. I've seen a lot of like competitors will link to their competitors' information just to try to, because it's easier than producing their own content like that. But then the good news is that you've captured their email address. You've gotten a chance to get in front of them as well that way.
And any advice about how to kind of come up with the potential topics for these ebooks or white papers or blog posts?
Yeah, so what I would start with is when you start talking to someone for the first time, like you meet someone at a party or on the street and you're talking about what you do for business, what's that first question that they always ask you about it? Like going back to like the fiber optic cabling example, like they say, oh, that's interesting. Like, what kinds of custom cables do you make? Like, what's a popular kind of custom fiber optic cable? And then you can explain to them, oh, well, we make ones that don't break when you bend. When you bend them and they can stretch and they can contract, and so you can fit them into very small spaces without having to worry about kind of all of those kinds of problems. That makes a great blog post. You can explain exactly that kind of material. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest blog posts are the ones that are just like the questions that you answer like 10 times every day to people that you meet. But for all of those 10 people, it's the first time they've ever heard this information. It makes something that's really compelling and good for sharing that way.
And in terms of kind of once you start to decide, okay, I've got these questions, here's what I feel I should be answering. Have you found that there's kind of an ideal length for that type of content? Because potentially it might be a bit daunting to go off and kind of write a full-blown ebook, as it were.
Yeah. So that depends on how much there really is to say about the topic. Like, you can write a great blog post on a topic in three paragraphs. And, you know, that's probably like 2 to 4 minutes of speaking an answer to someone in response to their question. That's probably a great blog post length. Or one other measure that I use is anytime I write one of my coworkers or someone who emails me with a question, if they send me an email and my response is more than three paragraphs, I know that I probably have a pretty good blog post there and I might need to edit it and change it. But if somebody asked me a substantive question and it took me that long to answer it, then that's probably a really good topic for a blog post because it's something people want to know and there's a detailed answer for them when they ask it.
No, I think that's a good way of thinking about it. And I know that kind of tools have been a big part of the way that you kind of have, you know, sort attention, sort inbound leads, and you know, is the kind of, you know, is it, because I know that I've used some of those HubSpot tools in the past. Are there any kind of recommend that you think might be interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, so we just launched a new one in December, Marketing Grader.
Okay.
You can access it at marketing.grader.com, and basically what it does is it looks at your whole marketing funnel, from your website to your social media accounts to anything else that you have kind of going on in your web marketing, and then gives you a review of kind of what are you doing that's great on them and what could you improve, and gives you tips on how you can improve different parts of it.
And what have you found from your experiences the area that people tend to get wrong in that kind of full funnel?
So I think one of the things that people most frequently get wrong is that they're doing a little bit of everything and they're not committing to it enough. Mm-hmm. So for example, they'll have a Facebook page, but they post on their Facebook page maybe like once a month or so. And so then we can give them advice, some advice, and say, if people are on Facebook every day, they use it every day, if they're interested in your brand and what you're talking about and your subject matter, you know, it doesn't have to be like every minute, but like, post something interesting once a day or a few times a week, just to make sure that they're getting a steady stream and they don't forget who you are. If they're only getting exposed to you once a month, they might miss you. They may not be on Facebook when you post it, and it might go past them before they see it. Or they may just forget who you are in the in-between. And so by making sure that you're doing like regular, consistent posting, you'll have much better success online on Facebook or Twitter or any of those kinds of networks than you would if you're being kind of erratic or sporadic about it.
And I mean, I know in the past that the kind of the SEO grader tool that you've got, I'm not quite sure of the title of it, but I've definitely used it in the past. That's kind of quite a good way for people to get started and kind of understanding some of those kind of big challenges. How have you found the kind of the need that, because SEO has potentially started to become a little bit more complex, as it were, or at least there's a perception of that. How is the kind of temptation, is it difficult to kind of balance that desire to make it as simple as possible, but also kind of, you know, understanding that potentially it's getting more complicated as well?
Yeah, so it definitely has gotten a little bit more complicated. But what most businesses need, because most businesses don't have a lot of competition for SEO and for ranking, is they need to just do their fundamentals really well first. And so like Marketing Grader, and before that, our old tool, Website Grader, which you referenced, they stuck to making sure that you were just doing your fundamentals right. Because also we found a lot of websites, like they were trying to do kind of advanced SEO topics and trying to do all kinds of very complicated optimizations. But they were still missing some of the fundamentals, like making sure that all the images on their website, all the important images, had alt tags so that screen readers could read them and search engines could read those images. Or they had like every page title on their website was the same, but they were trying to do like some fancy thing with a sitemap or something like that. And we're like, well, you should take that step back first and get your page titles right, or get your images like taken care of first before you go into any of these deeper topics, and make sure just your fundamentals are good, because you might find that once you get those fundamentals right, you get your page titles set up correctly, then you might start ranking a lot better anyway, and then you don't need to worry about those kind of more complicated topics. And that works for a lot of business.
Yeah, do you think that a lot of us kind of like, yeah, we're so, there's so many things we could be doing that actually we kind of concentrate on the new shiny thing, perhaps, rather than the kind of the fundamentals in that sense?
Yeah, or they get so caught up in looking at all their data and all the things they possibly could do that they get kind of like paralyzed by all the possible things they do, and they end up doing none of it. And so one of the other nice things about the tool is it kind of breaks it down into little chunks of what you can do and explains why that's an important thing to do, and then gives you like kind of very tactical tips of how you can tackle that without being too vague or not being clear about what you need to do. So for example, if your page titles all start with your company name, it says you should probably just reorder that so it's the name of the page and then your company name second. And then explains why that's really important by saying 60% of all organic search clicks go to the top three organic search results. And if you're putting your company name at the front of all of your posts, of all your page titles, it's going to be much harder for you to rank very well and get into those top three results. And so that's a very important focus for you to have.
And in terms of talking about that focus, and I've kind of mentioned a bit, there's kind of a huge amount of content and a huge amount of tools that, that HubSpot produce. How do you find then, as a kind of the person responsible for the search marketing of that, how do you kind of deal with that large volume of content that you've got there?
Because
it's not a challenge that everyone's got, but surely it must be difficult to know, okay, well, I've got all these potential things I could be promoting that I could be trying to get people to link to. How do you decide that how you go about doing that.
Yeah, so we have about 25 people on the marketing team here at HubSpot, some 20, 25, something like that. And one of the things that I do that makes my job as our main search engine optimization person a lot easier is that I try to make sure that everyone else on the team has a good understanding of SEO as well, so that they understand, like, links are good. I want to, if I'm about to get a link because I'm doing an interview or some other thing going on, to try and get certain anchor text if possible. A lot of it is really just about teaching good SEO fundamentals to everyone else on the team so that, like, my reach of how much I can influence what they're working on is greatly amplified so that I don't need to pay attention to everything that everyone is doing. I can focus on just a few keywords at a time or certain projects at a time and kind of leave it to my coworkers and trust that they'll do a good job of making sure that whatever they're doing, that they're pulling in good anchor links, or that they're making sure that, like, that a page that they're creating on our website or a page that they're creating on our blog is laid out well and has a keyword that's focused around and all of that sort of stuff.
So yeah, what you've done is you've spread that knowledge. So they're doing a lot of the SEO work for you without you necessarily having to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how do you feel about kind of, you know, there's, you know, if you look at some of the surveys that have been carried out towards the tail end of the year, people feeling that social signals are becoming more and more of an issue, and that's before you get the more recent Google rollout of Search plus your web. How do you feel about some of those social signals and how that's going to affect the day-to-day responsibility of someone trying to run an SEO campaign?
Yeah, so it will definitely affect it because it signal like as inbound links or as having content on your website. It's definitely, like, I would say it's probably about 5% involvement in how you rank right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important thing to get right if you can, because it's that little boost that can push you past a competitor. And so what I'm seeing when I talk to a lot of other SEOs is that they're getting involved with the social media people at their company, or if they work in an agency, they find out who's responsible for social media, and they do just like, they have a quick meeting at first to just make sure that they're on the same page and that they understand what each other are looking for and how they can help each other, because it is really critical and it's going to become a much bigger factor over the rest of this year and next year, in how well websites rank, that people are sharing the websites, that people stay on a website for a long time, that they're reading the content regularly. These are the things that the search engines are looking for, and so it's going to be a much bigger factor, and so it's a good thing to get right and pay attention to.
And have you found that the content that people share on social networks is different to the kind of content that people link to on your site? So, you know, say you produced an ebook, have you found some ebooks have done very well for links but not so good for kind of tweets, but then others have been very widely tweeted but very few people end up linking to it?
We haven't really had that experience yet. I wouldn't be surprised if other people out there have had that happen to them, but we've generally found generally an ebook that we make either does very well or doesn't do very well. There's not a lot of in between with them. And so keeping that in mind, like, yeah, we haven't really had a problem. Like, if it'll either succeed or it'll not succeed on its own.
So actually it's the quality of the content that's the real issue. And actually the better the quality of content, the wider it gets shared rather than kind
definitely.
Of certain
yeah.
content gets spread in different ways.
Or sometimes we just write about just a topic that I guess is, like, we feel like it's a really good content, but the topic may just not be that interesting. Or it's interesting to such a small segment of people that it only gets limited sharing and limited attention. Mm. This ebook is actually doing rather well, but we were a little bit nervous about, like, we were producing an ebook about marketing analytics, and we weren't sure, like, what's the market like for that? A lot of people talk about web analytics, or they talk about Google analytics, and we're trying to introduce this new topic of marketing analytics, and you should look at it not just in terms of time on site or the bounce rate of your website, but how's the marketing performance of your website going? Are you pulling in leads? You should be measuring your website in terms of leads generated or sales generated or whatever metric actually moves your business. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't sure what the market was going to be like for that, but then it did very well, and so we're really happy with it. But it's a little bit of guesswork to figure out what's going to be great and what's not going
to
be great.
Yeah, and you've got to experiment, I suppose, to learn and try things out.
Yeah, you have to not be afraid to fail. Like, not everything is going to be perfect, but if you're going to miss every shot that you never take.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, Brahm. So I think there's some really interesting research in there, and I can thoroughly recommend that people definitely check out the tools. And there's quite, like I say, those ebooks, there's some really interesting content that you guys are producing there that I think that the listeners could all find really interesting. So thanks very much for that, Brahm. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Kelvin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.